Welcome back to Thick and Thin with Katie Bilotti. That is me. I'm currently sitting in my cold AF apartment. I don't know why it's so cold right now. I think my building has decided to turn off the heat because it's officially spring, but I'm just always cold, I think. So I'm a little angry at them at the moment, whoever is in charge of that, because I'm freaking freezing. You know, although during the winter it was kind of a pain because the pipes would always make the craziest noises. Like, almost always when I would sit down to record, it'd be like that very moment where it decided to just crank all these noises into my apartment, and it was quite the issue. But now I'm just freezing, so I can't get it right. I'm wrapped in a blanket, sitting on my stool, about to, you know, really just chat about some very deep things. We actually have a structure for tonight's episode. As you guys know, last week I just did a Q&A of a bunch of different stuff. The week before that, or the day or two before that, I think I actually uploaded two episodes last week, which is very, very unlike me and very cool of me to actually do that. Because if there's one thing that you need to know about this podcast, if you guys are new here especially, it's the fact that I don't upload regularly every week, like on the same day. Like I pick and choose, because this is very much like a journal entry podcast where I just talk to you guys about things on my mind, and it's not very structured to the point where I have a specific day every week. I want to get there eventually, but you know, I love this, like, you know, not structured, you know, podcast style. I think it's refreshing for me to do something like this, where it's very much organic and just like what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking it. So highly recommend, if you guys are listening on various apps, to either subscribe or follow the podcast, because then you'll get notifications when I upload, and you won't have just like, you know, wonder when I'm gonna upload and, you know, wonder if I've posted a new episode. You'll know exactly when it drops. You know, it'll pop up as a notification. I have that for many of my favorite podcasts, so highly recommend doing that. It's super easy. It's like a click of a button, I'm pretty sure. And then, you know, if you're on the Apple podcasting app, definitely leave me a 5-star review if you can, if you're interested in doing so. It lets me know how I'm doing and lets other people know that they should tune in to this madness. So yeah, that's all you really need to know. So I guess now that we've addressed the fact that I'm cold and that you should subscribe and follow, we can get into the meat of tonight's episode and what it's all about. Tonight I'm going to be talking about the fear of change in your 20s. That actually came straight from one of your mouths. One of you guys DM'd me and asked me to talk about it. I put it on my story, asked if any of you guys are interested. There was a lot of interest. Some people saying, like, Katie, what right do you have to talk about it? You're only 23. Like, you've only experienced 3 years of your 20s. But I'm going to kindly, like, say fuck you to that, because I'm going to talk about it, okay? Yeah, I'm 23. I have 7 more years of my 20s, but that doesn't mean that I have not experienced a crazy amount of change in the past 12 months of my life. Maybe, yeah, 12 months has been like a whirlwind of a time. I was just like laying in bed recently, like an hour ago. I guess it's recent, but like, why did I say recently? I don't know. I was laying in bed and I was like, wow, like this time last year. And I was like thinking about what I was doing this time last year and like how many classes I'd blow off, like what I would focus on, what I wouldn't focus on, that I'm focused on now. And it's just crazy how much change I've gone through, you know, not to mention new apartment, new city, new normal that I've had to adjust to. And like, no matter what phase of your 20s you're in, if you're not even in your 20s, you're gonna experience, you know, some way or another, a fear of change. And when you're experiencing said change, you're just internally freaking out and wondering why no one else is freaking out. And yeah, so I'm going to talk about it, even if people are like, why? Because this is why. It's important to me, so I'm going to talk about it. Honestly, even right now, like, yes, 12 months, this has been a crazy whirlwind, but even now I'm gearing up to move, which I lightly touched on last week, and I haven't really, like, fully addressed it online yet because I've been going through the process. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. I don't want to, like, falsely talk about an apartment that I haven't gotten yet, but I applied to a place last night, actually, and I'm going to hear back tomorrow, so fingers crossed. Hopefully tomorrow's not a horrible day because I didn't get it, but regardless, it'll be a good story to be like, hey guys, I got denied, but it's fine, whatever. But I'm moving downtown to Greenwich Village. That's like the area that I've decided on it. I know I said West Village last episode, but Greenwich Village is actually the specific area that I really want to be in. And, you know, after seeing last night's apartment, I decided, like, even if I don't get this place, I need to be in that area. It brings me back to where I used to live when I interned here. It's kind of off topic from, like, change, but, you know, doing that whole process and seeing the apartment and coming back to this apartment and looking around and thinking about how much I'm gonna have to pack into boxes and how much I've even, this is like weird to say, I'm not like a crazy hoarder or anything, but I did acquire a lot of things in this first 12 months in the city, 11 months I think is exact, but you know, and it's funny how a year you accumulate so much stuff, like so much like not even just clothes, like that's one thing that I'm like gonna constantly accumulate till the end of time, but I'm looking around and like all these little things, like little memories, little things I picked up at thrift places around here, like little things I've kept from bars that we visited, and like I'm even looking around my desk and just all this stuff, and it's just like so much, you know, tangible change, things that have changed in my life, things that I acquired and didn't have a year ago, and it's just, it's scary to think about how much change will occur in the next 12 months of my life. And it kind of gets to the point where you really obsess over this idea of timing. And especially in your 20s, I think there's this huge pressure to, well, obviously there's always a pressure in every, you know, decade of your life to figure it out. Like, you know, figure out the college you want to apply to when you're in your 18s, you're in teens. I don't know why I said 18s, but like teens. You know, and you know, there's all sorts of pressures in different decades, but like this pressure right now, the 20s, I think it's the heavy pressure, because you feel like you need to have it all figured out by 30. You know, 30 is somehow a scary age in our minds. I don't think it's really scary for me, because I've honestly kind of accepted the idea that I might, you know, not have it all figured out by 30, and that's okay. Like I've somehow in my being decided that I'm okay with it. You know, but that doesn't mean I'm still not going to be afraid of the change in the next 7 years of my life, because there's a lot of change involved and a lot of it is going to be very uncharted territory and the timing is very much unknown. And I think we become obsessed with the idea of timing, as I just said, you know, and we think that there has to be a good time to do things, you know, like a good time to move. I've been thinking about that recently, like, you know, oh, is this a good time to move? Like I'm very much dealing with a lot of projects at work and like, you know, I love this place. Like, don't get me wrong. A lot of you guys are asking why I'm moving. I love this place in Hell's Kitchen. This apartment is the creme de la creme, the exposed brick, everything about it, besides the two mice I had, of course, you know, in the winter, but it's great. It's just, I think I just feel in my being that it's time to go. And it does happen to kind of be good timing because my lease is ending, but like, is there truly ever a good time to do anything? Like I could, you know, I thought to myself, like maybe I should just stick it out another year here. Not that it's like a bad sticking out. I just really do want to be downtown. Like I think that's more me in terms of the area and my friends are there and it's, you know, a nicer commute to work. And like, I just think all the stars are kind of aligning and going downtown, but I'm also like, but like, am I really, you know, in the frame of mind right now to do the whole move again, to like, you know, deal with all the movers and the boxes and the, you know, uncertainty of waking up in a new place that's unfamiliar. And like, am I going to be able to sleep the first couple of nights? You know, living alone is something that, you know, you can't really prepare for. You kind of just have to like leap and do it. And that's something I've learned. You know, I'm not going to lie, the first few weeks living in this apartment, I was scared of every noise. I, you know, was afraid to even turn my music up because I didn't want my neighbors. I think I was trying to say like roommates, but they aren't my roommates, and my neighbors. I didn't want my neighbors to hate me, okay? I didn't even throw like a party or anything until like a couple months in. Like in, when I say party, I mean like a very small get together because this place is small, but anyway, like there's a lot of uncertainty. The timing is never going to be perfect. And this actually was kind of reaffirmed the other day because a coworker of mine just got back from vacation. And my boss actually just left for vacation. So I guess I'm the only person that has, well, I went to Miami a few weeks ago, but like, I think I'm due for another vacation. Okay. Memorial Day better be epic because I need to have some R&R. I think I need R&R like every month, at least like a couple of days, honestly. Oh, life is crazy. But you know, she just got back from vacation and she missed this one meeting that we had. And to be honest, it wasn't like a crazy meeting or anything, but she was like, oh, like I was like recapping it to her and she's like, oh, like I wish I was in that meeting. Like there, I would have said this, I would have done this. Like, I think that this needs to happen, whatever. And I was like, oh, like, don't worry. Like, whatever. And she was like, but you know, Katie, like there's never a good time to take a vacation. Like there's no such thing in the corporate world as a good time to take a vacation, because every time you think it's a good time to take it, you miss something, you're behind, you get back with 300 emails in your inbox and you're like, fuck. So that I was sitting there, we were like, you know, sitting across from each other talking about it. And I was like silent, I think, for a few minutes, because I was just like, wow, like there's truly in life no such thing as a good time. Okay, like maybe good's a weird word to use in this sense, but like there's no such thing as a perfect time to do anything, I don't think. Like or most things at least. Like, you just kind of are always going to be uncertain about the moves you're making in life and the leases you're signing. You know, the apartment I saw yesterday was everything I want in an apartment, you know, and I don't want to like get my hopes up too high, of course, because I could just still not get it. But like, I signed the, you know, application, and I instantly afterwards was like, but wait, like, what if like this isn't the right time? What if like this isn't the right place? Like, what if, what if, what if? And, you know, I think that I truly do believe that, you know, maybe there isn't a good time for anything truly. Like, is there ever really a perfect time to make any sort of move? You know, there's always a risk involved with every decision you make. You know, every change that you make in your life in your 20s, after whatever your, you know, your teens held for you, is going to incorporate some risk. You know, you're always or often going to feel underprepared with the decisions that you make. And, you know, you kind of have to be uncomfortable and figure it out. And I've learned in my last 12 months, which I know I dramatize and I'm like, my last 12 months of life have been so crazy. But like, I've done a lot of growing up. Like, I have put my big girl panties on, okay, in New York City, because I have had to deal with things I didn't think, you know, dealing with things on my own that I never used to have to deal with, you know. And it's not as simple as like taking my, you know, laundry to the place because I don't have, you know what I mean? It's like, it's other things, bigger things, feelings that I've experienced that I've never experienced before, because now I'm like in the thick of it. Like, I am in the adult thick of it. Like, maybe not as thick as it will be eventually because I am only 23, but like, I got my first dose, and let's just say it was hard to swallow, okay? Like, there's obviously been amazing times in the city, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't love it. But like, loving a place and loving a moment and loving a phase of your life isn't going to be perfect. And I know that's like cliche to say, but like, really think about that. Like, you know, in your own life that's how it is. And like, you know, you're always going to feel underprepared for big moments. Like, I always think back to when I was a teenager, obviously, and I was taking my driver's test. I don't remember how old. I had to be 15 in Maryland. I grew up in Maryland. So I had to be 15 and 9 months to take the permit test. The permit test. And then 16 and 6 months, I think, was when I took the actual driver's test. So the learner's permit. Did I just say that? I hope I said that right. The learner's permit was 15 and 9 months. And I remember going, and I was freaking my shit about it for like weeks before. Like, I felt very underprepared. You know, I'm not a big test taker. I'm a really actually horrible, really bad test taker. I did really not great on the SAT. I didn't do great on the ACT. I didn't do great on many exams in college. I'm much more of a creative thinker, and that's where I excel. And there's nothing creative about test taking, like filling in those little bubbles of death. Like, I hate it, okay? So I went in to take my learner's permit, and my mom is there, of course, like, for moral support. Love her to death for being there. And we were in this, like, the DMV in Maryland. It was a really sketchy, scary place. Like, I just didn't like seeing all these people who were like wondering why I was there, and I'm like, I'm such a child, I don't deserve to drive a car, like, I don't need this right now, like, can I wait a year, mom, like, do I really need my driver's license? And I was older than all my friends by a couple of, like, honestly, by probably like 6 months. I'm a little older than all my friends, and I was like, you know, can I just wait till my friends take it? Like, there was this uncertainty about it. I couldn't ask anyone. I didn't know. My mom had taken it, like, I don't know how many years prior, so it was different, and I didn't really know what to expect. And I was taking the exam, and I was sweating. Like, it was just a horrible day. Like, I was just not feeling it, and I failed that. And yeah, and it was like simple questions, guys, like, you know, what do you do when a pedestrian is crossing the street? Or what do you do when, you know, there's a yellow light and you, like, there's, it's very simple, like, driving questions, like, nothing too crazy. And I failed. And naturally, I afterwards was like, mom, I failed. And she was like, oh, it's okay, you can like retake it in a couple of weeks, it'll be fine. Like, but I was like, oh my god, I really failed. Like, I had a bad feeling about it, but I really freaking failed. And so she took me to Panera. We went to Panera Bread. I think Panera is like a huge thing everywhere, so everyone probably knows, at least in the U.S. And I drowned my sorrows in a huge bowl of macaroni and cheese and the green tea that I love so much that I found out has like 7 million calories in it, and I'm happy I didn't know that for most of my life. And that was that. And I eventually took it. You know, I studied this time. Like, I didn't realize there was like a way to study. I did that. I studied, and I passed. I was still sweating the whole time, but I passed. And then, you know, eventually got my driver's license on the first try, I will add, which was strange considering I failed the permit test, which is supposedly easier than the driver's test. And yeah, and I obviously now have my driver's license, but ironically enough, I'm in New York without a car and I'm probably not going to drive for a really long time. All that stress for nothing. Just kidding. I had an awesome driving experience in college with my dream car that I bought myself, and it, you know, it was all worth it. But, you know, I go back to the idea that, you know, timing, like I was just going over and over, you know, racking my brain about like why, like I don't feel prepared. Like it's not a good time. It's not a good time. I should just wait, you know, and I remember just like, you know, internally freaking out about the timing of it all. And, you know, I think that also it comes from like a lack of confidence in myself. You know, I feel like I'm not confident enough in certain elements or areas of my life to just leap blindly. And I have a problem, you know, over planning to the point where I psych myself out. And Maya Angelou said this one beautiful quote, and she said, The real difficulty is to overcome how you think about yourself. And I think that's huge because, as I mentioned, you know, confidence is a huge reason why we're afraid to take risks, why we're afraid of change, because we're not confident in ourselves that we can handle said change. And I think that, you know, what Maya Angelou said is so spot on. Like, we have to overcome, you know, the judgments that we make about ourselves. And this can apply to so many different things, you know, confidence in your body, confidence in your ability to be loved, confidence in so many areas, in your job, in every element. And, you know, especially in terms of change, you have to, you know, overcome the negative thoughts that you think that rip you apart and keep you, you know, clip your wings and keep you from flying. And, you know, I think a whole nother, you know, sorry, I just plugged in my mouse. It's dying. I'm like going to charge it while I talk. You know, another thing that I always think about is just the true discomfort that there is in change. You know, with change comes discomfort. It's almost inevitable. And I think that there's a common misconception in this world. You know, many, many people think that, you know, that everything in life can be pleasurable. You know, if we work hard enough, if we do this, do that, eventually we'll coast, we'll be going downhill on our bikes, and there'll be no, you know, nothing blocking our way, just like hair in the wind, you know, life is good, we're just going to eventually get to that point where we're coasting and nothing bad's going to happen. Even if we're kind of, you know, we kind of have some sort of sense and we do know that maybe that's not rational, we still are kind of hoping for it, you know, in a weird way in the back of our minds, we're kind of hoping for a life that's pleasurable, you know, fully pleasurable. You know, we attempt a life like this, avoiding discomfort, avoiding pain at all costs, you know, distracting ourselves in any way that we can, you know, just kind of, I mean, honestly, guys, you do it. Like, I do it. Everyone does it. Even if they can't admit it to themselves, a lot of times they have this idea of what they want to do. They have this big leap that they want to make, but they pivot. You know, we all pivot. We, you know, pivot in the direction of what's more comfortable, what's easier, what's, you know, lower risk, you know. And I think it's something that we have to learn. We have to learn to infuse our lives with small doses of discomfort every single day, you know, of pain, because in doing so, you know, you'll benefit because your pain will grow you stronger. And it's something that you'll become accustomed to. And I don't want to say like, you need to obviously take this your way, because, you know, you don't want to force yourself to be constantly uncomfortable, because then clearly you need to be somewhere else, you need to be doing something else. But what I'm saying is you need to infuse your life with small moments of fear, of things where you make decisions where it's going to kind of scare you, you know? And if you're not making a decision that kind of small way scares you, you know, as much as the return is going to be something you really want and you really want in your life to, you know, to acquire and to get to, you know, success, whatever it looks like for you, you know, you're going to feel a little bit of a shock of kind of discomfort and pain and wondering if you made the right decision, wondering if this is something that you really want. And I think, you know, eventually the pain will fall off and it will become something that's so normal to you. You know, the discomfort of starting a new job. Like I was thinking about the other day, like, you know, I love my job. Do I see myself eventually having another role? Maybe still at L'Oreal, maybe somewhere else? Yes. Certainly do. I don't think I can do the same thing forever. I don't think anyone should do the same thing forever. So, you know, eventually I'm going to have to change roles. I don't know when that's going to be, but you know, I was just thinking about all of the newness that comes along with it, the new normal, take another shot. I just said it again. That will eventually look like for me, you know, starting over with a new team that doesn't know me and starting out in a new desk and having to, you know, say bye to people. And it's just like this huge wave of change that's eventually going to happen in my life. And I'm just, you know, I'm uncomfortable thinking about it, but it's something that when the time is right, there's no such thing as a right time. But when I feel in my soul that I'm ready for something more, I'm going to make that leap, even though there will be discomfort, you know, and even moving apartments, there's going to be some freaking discomfort dealing with all this shit and moving, like, honestly, you know. And I think you need to, you know, it's like working out. It's like, which I know nothing about, just kidding. I'm active somewhat, but like, I don't work out as much as my friends do. Let's just say that. I have other priorities, but I'm hoping when I move, I'll be closer to a nice gym that I can regular, hopefully Equinox, because of the towels. I love the smell of the towels. Okay. Anyway, but it's like working out, you know, like growing your muscles, getting stronger. It's going to cause discomfort. You're going to be sore as AF, you know, for a while. And then eventually it'll, you know, break way to new muscles and new strengths, and you'll climb stairs and not feel winded for once. And it breaks way to something where, you know, the discomfort, the little discomforts won't be discomforts anymore. They will just be your normal, you know, and it will be something that it isn't, you know, especially in the work world, like dealing with confrontation, dealing with little things like that are, you know, uncomfortable when you're first starting out, but eventually it's just something that's normal in the corporate world, you know, and I've become very accustomed to it. Like, you know, ideas that aren't accepted and you need to kind of debate them and, you know, rally for your idea. And it's something that I would just, you know, It's normal now. So taking a little break in the episode to introduce tonight's sponsor. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Lola, which I've actually talked about before. I use them. I use their tampons, tried and true, love them, and love the whole concept behind Lola. It's basically a modern approach to feminine care. It's very simple, you know, feminine care and ingredients that you use for your feminine care products should not be complicated. It should not be something that's a mystery. Like, I think this is a basic idea that all companies should adopt, but Lola definitely does. The FDA, actually, I talk about this every single time, but I'm just so baffled that the FDA does not require, you know, feminine care brands to disclose the ingredients that are in their products. So sometimes you are using tampons, you don't know what's in them. And that's really scary, considering, you know, your vagina is, it's a sacred space. And so you should be knowing what's going up there, you know. The Lola products are made of 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, dyes, and it makes that time of the month a little bit easier. They have a subscription service. It's fully customizable, so you can choose your mix of products, you know, mix of absorbencies, the number of boxes, the frequency of delivery, and you can, you know, customize everything. Founded by women, for women. Where can you go wrong with Lola? You simply cannot. And for every purchase of Lola items, you know, they have cleansing wipes, they have pads, tampons. With every single purchase, they do good with that purchase, and they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. So make that time of the month easier for yourself, easier for other people, and try Lola. Basically, I have a little deal for you guys, you know, per usual. All you got to do is go to My Lola. That's MyLola.com, and you get 40% off all subscriptions by entering my code HELLOKATY. That's hello, HELLOKATY. All you have to do is subscribe. You get 40% off all subscriptions just by visiting the site. That's MyLola, MyLola.com, and enter code HELLOKATY. Definitely give it a try. You can always opt out if you don't want to do, you know, the subscriptions every month. It's really great to just know what you're putting in your body. So give it a try. Use my code and get, you know, 40% off. So you can't really go wrong. I think it's so important that we cultivate within ourselves the ability to, you know, be able to handle the discomfort of life, the discomfort of change, you know, in small ways every day. Because like I mentioned, it's like going to the gym, which I know very little about, but, you know, it's like growing muscles. It's like wearing a pair of shoes until you get blisters, and then, you know, the blisters hurt like a mother, but then, you know, you callus, your skin will handle them the next time, and then it won't hurt anymore. It's like things like that. It's little discomforts that come with change that I think it scares a lot of people away from making, you know, big decisions in life and taking leaps when, you know, they kind of know that they're ready in a weird sense, but they, you know, convince themselves out of like a lack of confidence or something like that. You know, they can't overcome what they think of themselves, as Maya Angelou said, and they just chicken out, myself included. I've done it many times in my life. You know, I've just kind of gone the easy way because it's less uncomfortable and there's no pain involved, or, you know, I know what to expect. And I think the unexpected is something that we're all very, very afraid of. Let me tell you that. And, you know, I think this one quote by Eleanor Roosevelt that I wrote down is very important, and you guys need to embody this. I need to embody it. I need to get it tattooed like on my forehead or something. She said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face." And I think that kind of ladders back to the idea that you do have to encounter small fears, small infusions of pain every single day, you know, making the hard calls, making the hard decisions when you maybe not don't feel like it's a good time to do so. Because as I said, there's no such thing as a good time to do anything. You know, I think it's not about timing. So, I mean, I'm going to say that and you guys are gonna be like, okay, well then how do I make a decision on when I should do things? Because, like, you know, the world does revolve around timing. We do have watches, we have clocks, we wake up at a certain time to get to a certain place by a certain time. Time is a big element of human life. And so it is important, obviously, and we have to abide by it, or, you know, we don't have to, but many of us choose to. And so, you know, how do you know that it's the right time, the right, you know, decision to do something? And I think it all comes down to obviously what's in your gut. And, you know, if all of the little voices fade away, you know, the voices in your head that's convincing you that you're not ready, and, like, you know, what do you actually truly want to do? Where do you see yourself? You know, who's, I mean, not to compare yourself, but, like, do you see people doing something and you're like, wow, I really think I could do that, you know, or I should do that? Not to say you have to do what everyone else does, but, like, you know, when I started my YouTube channel back when I was 14 in 2009, I did it because I had watched other people on YouTube for a while. Like, I was a big YouTube, you know, content consumer, and I loved all these videos, and I was like, you know what, I think that I could do this. Like, I was inspired. I think there's a difference between, like, being brainwashed and doing what other people do and being inspired by people and taking, you know, leaps of faith because people inspire you. And I think that's the whole point of influencers on this planet. What we should be doing is inspiring, not forcing, not, you know, trying to brainwash people into being exactly like us and to do things like us. I think, you know, it's living our lives to the point where we do a lot of learning and we share the learnings with you guys, and anyone can do it. I'm not saying that we're some sort of, like, super god or something over here. It's like we should be inspiring people, not forcing people. I think that's a huge thing that, like, a lot of creators don't understand, and we shouldn't be creating this, like, mentality of jealousy and, like, things like that and whatever. That's a whole nother episode I could freaking do. But I think that, you know, when I started my YouTube channel, I was, you know, I saw this person that I wanted to be. I was shy. I was bullied. I was not in a good frame of life. Like, I was very, you know, not sure, as I always am, I feel like, about what my next move was. But I knew one thing, that I really, really loved making videos, and I loved watching videos. And I thought, you know, I saw these people I was watching. I was like, you know what? I could do this. And I think that it would really be, like, fun. You know, it would be something that would really be fun for me, and I think I could also do it in a way that's different, that, you know, I've always wondered, like, oh, I wish so-and-so would make this video this way, but I'm like, wait a second, maybe I should just get off my butt and actually make the video that way, and maybe it will do something for me and someone else. And so I think that often, you know, you do gain strength by doing things that scare you, things with risk, but, you know, going into the realm of timing, it's like, there's no good time, but there's a feeling that you get. And there's a gut feeling that you know that speaks louder than those demons and those little, you know, angel and or mostly the devils on your shoulder that will tell you otherwise and tell you all of the reasons why you shouldn't do it. You know, and I think there's another thing that I've taken to heart since I was, like, 15. I actually made a video with this very phrase in it when I was first starting out, when I was, like, probably 15 or 16. And it was so artsy and kind of cheesy now that I look at it. But I said in the video, you know, don't give up on the things you can't go a day without thinking about, you know? And I think if it's something that keeps nagging at you, keeps pulling your attention, you know, in that direction, like, ooh, I really like this, but, like, you know, but I'm comfortable in my job doing this whole other thing, but, like, wouldn't it be nice if I could do that? You know, here's a little secret, like, you can do that, okay? We live in a world where there's a lot more choice for especially women that we certainly did not have like 30 years ago, you know, definitely not 50 years ago, maybe not even 10, 15 years ago. Things have changed so much, you know, in even the last year for women and for just, you know, people that know what they want to do but are afraid to do it. You know, there's so much more out there that didn't exist. Like, I was at this Facebook Instagram session this morning at Facebook headquarters in New York, and someone was presenting and saying, like, it was about advertising and shopping on Instagram and how, like, there's so many new features now to shop on Instagram. It's actually mind-boggling how many things are even in the pipeline that they talked about, and how seamless it's going to all be. It's like very interesting to me. But they even said, they're like, guys, like, we didn't even start doing advertising on Instagram until 3 years ago, and that was even like the roughest phase of the advertising. Like, we didn't even have ads on Instagram, like, more than that, you know. And it's just mind-boggling to me how that feels like 3 years. I don't know how that, like, if it feels too long or too short, but I was just kind of like shocked that, like, 3 years, really? That's the only amount of time. Like, I feel like I've seen ads on here forever, or like I feel like I just started seeing them. Like, it's just, I go, you know, back and forth. But, you know, time is crazy. Like, that's a whole other beast, a whole other episode, you know. But, you know, I think that another thing you need to remember is, like, there are billions of people just like you. You know, you are special. Yes, you're a special little snowflake, honey, but there are billions of people just like you, stuck in our minds. Like, we are all stuck in our minds, you know, trying to figure out everything in our lives frantically, you know, desperately trying to just get it right, you know. And I think embracing a new normal in this, you know, changing period of our 20s, it's not a cakewalk, okay? It's not supposed to be a cakewalk. You know, I think the issue is that, you know, yes, we have like a lack of confidence that prevents us from leaping. Yes, we have an issue with, you know, dipping our toe, not knowing if it's the right time to jump. But I also think that we have an issue, you know, we feel the need to explain ourselves way too much, you know, and if not, you know, to other people, you know, I think we have we just have an issue with it. I mentioned this last week, I think, or maybe the episode before that, but, like, you know, I have this fear of, like, you know, going to family gatherings, people asking, like, oh, so what are you doing? Like, you know, what are you doing in the next 5 years? Asking me all those hard questions at, like, family gatherings where I'm like, I don't feel like I need to, I don't want to explain myself, but also I do want to have this, like, polished answer and be like, look at me, I'm doing well for myself, you know? And I think that leading up to graduation, and, you know, when I didn't know what I was doing post-grad, that was a huge question I was always asked. It's like, so what are you doing? Like, oh, what career are you taking? You did 4 years of college, your parents paid for your tuition so graciously. Now what? Like, what? It's the ball's in your court, kid. What are you going to do with this? Like, you got this four-year education. You have a ticket to get a lot of jobs because of that, which is such a privilege that I can't even begin to, you know, discuss. But, you know, what are you going to do with that? And that's scary, having to explain yourself, having to explain to other people, you know, or maybe not explain because you're embarrassed about how, you know, nervous you are and how uncertain you are. And, you know, I think the secret is we don't have to explain ourselves to anyone. You know, we don't owe anyone any sort of explanation for what we're doing in our lives, because let's be real, we are just, you know, we are confused AF explaining it to ourselves. And I'll harp on this once again, like I always do, the social media landscape of our lives is something that really contributes to this. You know, we feel like we need to post things, you know, happening, us in a new city post-grad, us in a new apartment, you know, our stories of, like, you know, us doing all these things that require choices. And we feel like we need to do it, but we're also scared to do it, but we also need to do it because we need to show people that we're okay and show people what we're doing. And we need to kind of explain ourselves, you know, even if it means an Instagram photo or a story or something. And I'm very guilty of this, being a creator and being an influencer or whatever you call me, and feeling the need to post a lot. But, you know, honestly, actually, I think in my last month here, I have actually posted quite a lot less, maybe because work is stressful and I don't have time to, like, story my life during the day. Like, hey guys, I'm sitting at my desk doing work. Like, it's really fun stuff. Bye. Like, I don't feel the need to do that. But also, it's like, I find it, you know, kind of misleading to be showing you guys that I'm quote unquote doing something at all moments of the day. Like I think, you know, that one day, whenever that was, a couple months ago, where Instagram was like down for a day. Do you guys remember that day? When like every, you know, crazy influencer, or not crazy, but like really heavy influencer that posts a lot, you know, I think was like, you know, going through a crisis because they're like, oh my God, I can't post. Like now what? You know, it is a job for people. And I understand that. Believe me, I'm like, I understand that. Being one of these type of people, kind of, I'm like a, you know, a hybrid because I do this and I also have a job, but or another job. It's hard to discuss this without offending people. I'm sorry. But like, remember that day? And I remember the day after that, you know, when Instagram was back up and running and everything was fine, you know, everyone posting stuff from the day before, being like, okay, this is what you missed from yesterday, and like going through their day by day. And I've been seeing certain influencers, not a bad thing, but just something food for thought here, posting, you know, a schedule of their day. They're like 6 a.m. wake up, 6:30 a.m. meditation, 7 a.m. like just mapping out their entire day, showing that they are doing something every hour of the day. But guys, like there are moments where, you know, you don't do anything. You can't. You have to recharge. I've made a whole episode on this. And you don't have to explain yourself every hour of the day, because I think that's part of the reason why we're so upset some of the times, because we feel this pressure that we don't need in our lives, you know, because there was a time when this was not even a thing and people just did their thing and there was a lot of mystery about it. Like people didn't know exactly what so-and-so was doing. Some people didn't even, without LinkedIn or things, people didn't even know what people were doing for work until they randomly caught up with them like years later. And then it was just a whole different landscape. And like, you know, the John Mayer quote that I discussed like 10 episodes ago, like we were never meant to know this many people. You know, we were never meant to have this many close connections, you know, close enough being like social media connections, close connections with this many people. It was just not in the design initially for like how life was supposed to work. And then technology came to be, and this is how we are now. And it's something that we need to learn to adapt to and not go crazy over. And that's something that I repeat to myself every day. Like, Katie, do not drive yourself crazy updating people about your life, because it is my life. It's my life. And it's something that, you know, I don't have to explain to people if I don't want to. Like, I do take some, it's fun to update you guys, and you guys, you know, seem to care about certain elements of my life and other influencers' lives and such, and that's totally great. Like, I think content sharing is a very cool thing. I literally do it for a living, and I do it as an influencer. It's like a double whammy of just like what I believe in and what I think is interesting and what I like to consume. And so I don't want to be a hypocrite here and, you know, go against everything that I, you know, somehow believe in. But, you know, I think that this is something that contributes to our fear of change, because, you know, we sometimes, you know, as I mentioned, there's no good time to really make any decision or do anything, like no perfect time. You know, there's always going to be some risk. There's always going to be some discomfort. But I also think that you need to know in your gut what is right. And I think that the need to explain yourself to everyone kind of, you're not always listening to your gut in that, you know, moment of time. It's like you're kind of listening to what other people, or what you think other people want for you and what other people are expecting from you. And that is a tough pill to swallow. It's a very hard pill to swallow when you realize that ultimately you are the person that you wake up with every morning, the person that you're gonna, you know, die with. Not to be morbid, but like, you are your keeper. So, you know, and people always say, like, in the terms of like working out and like feeding yourself the right foods, it's like your body is a temple. Like, this is the one chance you have, and the moments that you live, you know, although scary, although uncomfortable sometimes, although you're making big choices in your 20s, like, you know, we have to remember that life becomes more meaningful when you realize that you'll never get these same moments twice, okay? You know, all the time that you're spending freaking out about change in your future, you know, you're experiencing moments in this time, but, you know, your thoughts are so overpowering that you're not fully experiencing these moments, and you don't quite grasp the idea that these moments are gone in an instant and you will never get that same moment twice. You know, you could do the same thing, you know, go to the same restaurant another time, but it will never be exactly the same as the first time. You know, they're not going to be the same other people in the restaurant. You know, I don't know, there's just going to be differences, different variables involved. And so I think, you know, a lot of the beauty is sucked out of life when we obsess over the fear that we have of change, about change. Like, it reminds me of that one scene in The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Do you remember that movie from like a little while back? And they're in that tunnel, like driving, and he's out of the car and he's like, you know, someday we're going to be like parents, we're going to have kids, but like right now, this is our moment. This is what we're doing in this moment. And, you know, he feels alive. He loves the girl. Like, you know, he's in the moment. And, you know, it's hard to be in the moment with all the social media madness that we encounter on a daily basis. But, you know, that, all of that aside, because that's kind of something we were aware of. We live this. We know the potential, you know, the potential negatives of social media and obsessing over it. And I feel like I always, every episode I talk about, you know, I always bring it back to social media and how detrimental it can be when we become too focused on it and too obsessed with our explaining ourselves and documenting ourselves. And, you know, I think, you know, top line, change in your 20s. It's a real thing. It's not a cakewalk. You know, the new normal that you experience when you're changing phases of life, you know, even after the initial like post-grad situation, like there's still so many new unforged paths that I will enter, you know, changing roles in my job, you know, changing my new apartment and like just everything else that comes with all of this that I will not be prepared for. And it will not be easy. And I know that. And I know now, and I know very strongly that not every, you know, move in life is going to be pleasurable. Not every moment of life is going to be pleasurable, but we go through these uncomfortable moments so we can experience, you know, pleasure that we've gotten ourselves. You know, it's the one thing you can gift yourself is just knowing that the pain you've encountered, the fear and the weird feelings, like the uncomfortable, unexplainable feelings that you experience when you go through these moments of change, it makes it all so worth it. You know, it's like training for a marathon, the freaking like overused, you know, analogy metaphor of like training for a marathon. But it's like, it's so sweet when you cross the finish line and you're like, yes, like every single thing that I've done to this day has gotten me here. Every single time that I have decided to do something and it was scary and it wasn't the right time, and it was just something that I knew in my gut that I wanted so badly to taste, you know, it all got me to this moment. And I think that we need to remember that. We need to know that there are billions of people just like us that are feeling the same feelings of, you know, unsureness, if that's a word. There's definitely a better word for that. I don't really know. But yeah, uncertainty. That's a good one. So yeah, that's it for this episode. I hope I gave you guys a little bit of food for thought, some good little random stories about times I've failed and my, you know, new beginnings of my new apartment. Please cross your fingers and your toes for me that I get this apartment, because it's just like the place of my dreams. Like, to give you more context, it's like, it's a studio. I keep wanting to call it a loft. I don't know why. It's a studio, but it has like really high ceilings. So it's like a one room, like big space situation that I'm going to be very creative with decorating and such. And it's like one huge room. And I'm really hoping I get it. So yeah, that's it for this podcast episode. I hope you all enjoyed. As a reminder, definitely follow, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And I will talk to you guys all next week. Bye.